Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and let's read verse 16 together. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. When I read that verse, I think if that's the only verse of Scripture I had, that's all the Scripture that a man or a woman needs. Without controversy. Without controversy. This is one of the great standalone verses in Scripture. One verse among many standalone great verses. But what I mean by that is, contained inside this one verse is an eternity of wonder. If we could only see this and understand what this is saying. Contained inside this one verse is the full declaration of the glory of God's gospel. The full declaration of it. The mystery of godliness, it's called. It's revealed, it's declared right here. Not that we have the full capacity to understand it, but God has declared it and we believe it. I just want to look at this line upon line. Verse 16, it says, and without controversy. That means by the consent of all. Nothing disagrees with this. Nothing. Everything supports this as the absolute truth that it is. Without controversy. We're not even going to have a discussion about it. Well, let's have a discussion about this and debate this. Let's not. Without controversy. Men can discuss and debate all they want to through this life. It changes this not one bit. When they get to the end of all their discussion and all their debating, this doesn't change one cross of the T or dot of the I. It doesn't change anything. That's what I love about the truth of God's gospel. It is without controversy. Religion is so full of controversy. And I should clarify that by saying false religion. It is so full of controversy. Nobody agrees on anything. Nobody agrees on anything. And it's because everybody has their own opinions and their own imaginations on how they think things are or how they imagine things ought to be. Everybody has their own thoughts and their own opinions of these things. And obviously, men and women have not consulted God's Word on their thoughts, because if they did, they would see that God's Word does not consent to man's thoughts. It actually disagrees with man's thoughts, every natural thought that man has. It doesn't support man's thoughts at all. Isaiah 55 says, our ways are not God's ways. His ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts are infinitely higher than our thoughts. And if men and women really knew that, they would realize when we try to intertwine our thoughts with God's thoughts, all that can come from that is controversy. Confusion, which ultimately leads to error. If man starts interjecting his opinion into God's word, that's only going to lead that man and everybody who listens to him to error. That's all that will happen. Honestly, what I love about the truth of God's word alone is this. There is no opinion in it. There is no opinion in it. No opinion from man in it. Only fact from God. And as long as men and women stay focused on fact from God, singled in on fact from God, we will be standing on truth. And every soul who stands on truth is in perfect agreement. Every soul who stands on truth is without controversy. No controversy. And here is the fact of God's truth that we're all standing on, all who believe this word and who have been caused to believe this word. Here it is. Verse 16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Without controversy, great is the mystery. Great is this mystery. Everything concerning God is a mystery. Everything concerning God. Can we, by searching, find out God? Can we find out the Almighty unto perfection? God is high as heaven. What can we do? Deeper than hell. What can we know? That's what Job chapter 11 says. Man naturally thinks that he understands God. Explain eternity, really. Explain eternity, really. We try to go back in our minds as far as we can go in both directions, forwards and backwards. At some point in our brain, there's an end. Man cannot even fathom space. Man thinks he has a handle on outer space. Where does it end? How far do you go before you hit that wall? No more. Where does it end? We can't even fathom space. How can we fathom God's eternity? Explain the Trinity, really. Explain the Trinity, really. Man thinks he can fathom God. Three persons? Are we talking about three persons? Yes, we are. One God, honestly, are we really talking about one God? Yes, we are. Explain how God can be just. God is holy. This is the first attribute we need to understand about God. He is holy. That means he cannot do the things that we do. He can't. He has to do what's right. We constantly do what's wrong and try to justify ourselves in doing it. He has to do what's right. So how can God be just in dealing with sinners and justify sinners at the same exact moment in time? You say, well, here's the answer, the substitution of Christ. I know, but really, explain that to its fullest degree. Explain how Christ, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for his people, in the place of his people. Explain that, really. This is what we have to call the mystery of godliness. This is the mystery of godliness. Mark 4:11 calls it the mystery of the kingdom of God. Ephesians 1:9 calls it the mystery of his will. Ephesians 3:4 calls it the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 6:9 calls it the mystery of the gospel. Verse 9 right here in 1 Timothy 3 calls it the mystery of the faith. And verse 16 sums it all up by saying this is the mystery of godliness. And the thing to know about a mystery is this. It has to be revealed. It has to be revealed. It has to be revealed. If a man or a woman is ever going to know the truth concerning God, the truth concerning the will of God, the desire of God, people are always talking about what God wants. Always. They're always saying, well, now you know that God wants this or God wants that. Usually when people do that, they're wrong. Usually, almost all the time, they are wrong. You say, how do you know that? It's because the truth concerning His will and His desire has been revealed in His Word. And those who have been given eyes to see it have seen it. If a man or a woman is ever going to know the truth concerning God and the truth concerning the will of God and the truth concerning the work of God, that truth is going to have to be revealed by God. And how does He reveal that truth? Where does He reveal that truth? Right here in the pages of this book. Right here in His Word. But it has to be revealed. Men and women can read this book and read this book cover to cover and read this book and never see the mystery of godliness, never see this mystery at all until God reveals it to them. It has to be revealed. But inside this word, if God will give us eyes to see it, the mystery of godliness is revealed to us. And this is what it is. Verse 16, it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That is impossible for man to get a hold of until God reveals it to him. That is the groundwork of our salvation, and it is impossible for man to fathom until God reveals it to him. This goes back to trying to understand the Trinity. This is what people naturally think. People naturally think that God stayed in heaven and God's Son came down here to earth and God's Spirit just floats back and forth between the two. That's basically what people naturally think. Let me share an amazing mystery with you. That's not what happened. That's not what happened. Verse 16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. That's what happened. Hold your place right here and turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. That was God with us. There should be no doubt in our minds whether Christ was able to accomplish the work he was sent to do. That was not God's apprentice who came. That was not God's ambassador who came. That was Emmanuel. God himself, the only God that there is. John chapter 1 says, God was made flesh and dwelt among us. You say, no, it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, the Word was God. The Word was God. Calling the Lord Jesus Christ the Son of God, that does not mean that he is God's Son in the same way that I am my Father's Son. He was before me. I came after him. I came from him. I was raised by him. He taught me the things that I know. Well, that's not what the Son of God is to God the Father. Saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, according to the Scripture, according to the Word of God himself, what that's saying is, he is the only begotten image of God that there is. That's what he's saying. It's saying if you want to see God, you are going to have to look at Jesus Christ. Great is the mystery of godliness. That was God that was manifest in the flesh. That was God. That brings such hope to salvation. That was God. And I tell you this, it brings such amazement to salvation. That was God. It makes it even that much more of a mystery. Once we understand that and say, I have it, it's now just that much more of a mystery. That was God. God was manifest in the flesh. Look back with me at 1 Timothy 3. Verse 16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. Justified. That's what we all need to be before God. That's what we need to be. Justified. We need to be justified. What is justification, really? We talk about justified. We need to be justified. What is justification really? Let me tell you a true story that I believe is one of the clearest definitions of this. Years ago, I remember this many, many years ago, before there were cameras everywhere. Now there's a camera everywhere, and they have footage of everything. But before those days, there was a police officer who was chasing a suspect in his car, in their cars. And when the chase finally ended, I believe the suspect wrecked his car. And when it ended, they both got out of their cars and the suspect attacked the police officer. And the police officer was forced to fire on the suspect, and the suspect didn't make it. So the event became under investigation, and the officer had to go to court over the matter. And after all of the evidence was shown, and the eyewitnesses testified who had seen the whole thing, the judge ruled that the officer was justified in his shooting, and no sin was committed in his actions. That's justification. If we want to know what it is to be justified, that's what it is right there. No sin was committed in your actions. Justified in what you did. After inspection, we need to be found not guilty of any sin. That's what we need before God. You want to go deep into a mystery? We don't just need to be found that we're doing better than we were 2 years ago. After inspection, it's going to have to be found that we are not guilty of any wrongdoing, no sin. Now, that's exactly what all of heaven and earth had to say about Jesus Christ. After inspection, God the Spirit descended on him like a dove. God the Father spoke out loud and said, "I am well pleased with everything he has done." After inspection, even Pontius Pilate had to say, "I find no fault in this man. None. This man is perfectly justified." Now, I'll tell you the truth of a great mystery. That's what all of God's people have been made to be in Him. That's what all of God's people have been made to be in Him. Perfectly justified. That's what Christ earned for His people and gave to His people. He walked this earth for 33 and a half years, and He earned a perfect record of righteousness and justification before God. And then He traded places with His people. And everything they were was accounted to Him, and everything He was accounted to them. And when God looked at His own Son, He saw everything that we were. And when God looks on us, He sees everything that Christ is and was. That's what Christ earned for us. That's what Christ gave to us. He is where all of our righteousness comes from. He is where all of our holy perfection comes from. He is where our sanctification purity comes from. We have received all of that in Him. That's amazing to me. When He traded places with His people, that's what He gave to them. Justification before God. He said, "Here, take this. Justification before God. That's yours." We don't have it in ourselves, but we have it in Christ. What a mystery. What a mystery substitution really is. Look at Romans 3 with me. Romans 3, verse 20, it says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight." I wish all men and women understood that. I wish the Spirit of God would reveal that to all men and women. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. I don't care how hard we try, and I don't care how sincere we are in it. By the deeds of the law, you might be the finest individual this world has ever known. But in that alone, you will not be justified before God. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. How are we justified then? Verse 24. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." That's how. That's how. That's an amazing mystery. Just listen to this one. This is Galatians 2:16. It says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified." By the deeds of the law. So how are we justified then? By the deeds of Christ. By the deeds of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the works that God accomplished for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 45, 25 says, "In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified." And they were, all in Him. Look back at 1 Timothy 3. Verse 16, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels." He was seen of angels all through the time of the Old Testament prophecies concerning what He would come and do for His people. He was seen of angels when they announced His birth into this world. He was seen of angels while they desired to look into everything that He did as He walked through life on this earth. He was seen of angels as He suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane, while the sins of all of His people were being pressed into His body. He was seen of angels when He from the cross bowed His head and gave up the ghost. There was silence in heaven. Well, you talk about a somber moment. Everything, just looking at that, just watching that. The holiness of it. He was seen of angels when they laid Him in that tomb. But thank God He was seen of angels the moment they rolled that stone away, in His resurrection, as He walked out of that tomb. If there was silence in heaven the moment He died, what do you think heaven sounded like the moment He arose? What would you imagine heaven sounded like the moment He arose? Death being just announced. Everybody knowing death has just been conquered. Sin has just been put away. Sin that ruined everything. Redemption has just been secured. Can you imagine what heaven sounded like in that moment? Not only was the entire work of Christ witnessed by the law and the prophets, not only was it witnessed by the Father and the Spirit, it was witnessed by an innumerable company of angels, a great cloud of witnesses. And along with the actual angels, you know what that word right there translates to? Pastor, messenger, pastor. Thank God He was seen of pastors. Thank God. Men were given the eyes of faith to see Christ. I am so thankful that men before us, I remove myself from this situation. Me being a pastor did not save me. God preaching the gospel to my heart is what saved me. Christ dying on that cross is what saved me. God the Father choosing me in His election is what saved me. And I am so thankful that He, in His purpose and in His goodness, would give the eyes of faith to men to see Christ in the Scripture, see Christ in salvation, see Christ in the accomplishment of the law. We read this and we think, I can't do this. What do I do with this? And then the Spirit of God comes and says, Christ did it. Christ in all things. I'm so glad God revealed Christ to the men before us and gave them the gospel message of truth that opens blind eyes and sets men and women free. Free from the law, free from the bondage of sin. The message of mercy was preached. And it freed men and women. With that message, that's what verse 16 says. He was preached, and just enter into this, okay? Glory in this. He was preached to the Gentiles. Does that mean anything to anybody? That's what we are. What if this message had not been preached to the Gentiles? We're a bunch of heathen, outcast Gentiles. Mercy was preached to the Gentiles too. Mercy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not just the physical Jews only, but to all of God's spiritual people. That's how salvation is made known. That's how faith is given, causing God's people to see Christ and to know Christ and to look to Christ for all their salvation. It pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching. That's without controversy. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And with that faith that is given through the preaching of the truth of God's Word, verse 16 says, Christ is believed on in the world. What is the evidence of salvation? What is the evidence of salvation? Here's what people say. Good works. That's not true. Here's a great mystery. What is the evidence of salvation? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just believing in. You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believing that He accomplished everything He came to accomplish for His people. And we do, don't we? We believe that. Acts 13:48 says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. They believed, and this is what they believed. Verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And because God the Father received Him back up into glory, carrying with Him all of His intercession for His people. When He went back up, that's what He went back up with. All of His intercession for His people. And because God received Him, He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then I'll come again and receive you to Myself. And that honestly is a great mystery. That is the mystery of the gospel, the glorious good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. As our Lord was carried back up into glory, the angels told the disciples, they said, this same Jesus that you have seen go up in this way, He is going to come back down the same way you've seen Him go up. And great is the mystery that is going to happen. That is going to happen. The Lord is going to descend, and He is going to gather His people to Himself. And God's Word says that all of His people are going to be with Him forever in the air, wherever He takes them, forever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. It's hard for me to even understand these words, but I'm comforted by it. I'm comforted by the Word of God, the promise of God's Word. Martin Luther said, feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for lack of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever, for though all things shall pass away, His word shall stand forever. Amen. May the Lord bless that word.